Yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of ways of looking at this. You know? And like I said, we're not trying to ignore the pain that's there, because by acknowledging the pain, if we can deal with it, it can be a strong impetus for us not to play so much bingo this lifetime and actually get some realizations instead. Okay? So if we see that pain as the nature of samsara, as being caused by disturbing attitudes and karma, and if we can get just a really clear thing, you know, that, I mean, there's many ways to look at it. One way is to say, this happened to me because of my own karma. That doesn't mean I'm guilty. It doesn't mean I'm bad. It doesn't mean I'm evil. It just means that in previous lives I made some mistakes. Making a mistake, fair enough, we made mistakes this lifetime. And when we can see, okay, I must have harmed somebody else in my previous life. Do I want to continue to do that this lifetime? Because if I continue, you know, if in this present harmful situation I again generate anger and want to retaliate, I am again creating more negative karma to find myself again in this same unpleasant situation. I'm perpetuating the cycle. You can see it with even generations from families, not even talking rebirth. But if you have if you've been abused as a child, if you don't get your act together, chances are you're going to abuse your own children. So at some point we have to say, this is going to stop with me.
And that family that caused you that way toward that child.
Yeah, but then there's also the karmic force that made that person be born as that child. I know for me personally, when I have problems, when I can actually say to myself, this is a result of my own negative actions. This is a result of my own negative actions. Then that gives me some feeling that I can do something about the situation, that I don't have to be a victim to the situation anymore. It's not saying I deserve the harm. It's not saying I brought it on myself. It's saying, if this is the result of my own negative actions, then I want to clean things up because I want to do something better for the future. And I have that ability and that power to be able to do something. I don't have to be victimized by this situation. If I bear a grudge and I'm resentful and I blame other people, I become a victim of that situation, and my whole life, my own way of thinking won't let me be happy. Yeah. But if I can change my way of thinking, then there's a possibility to be happy. Because if you look at it, in the abusive situation, there was the harm, that there was the unpleasant feeling that we experienced at that very moment, and then there's all the conceptual thought that we have about it afterwards. Okay? That situation happened when it happened. It is no longer happening at this moment. Whatever horrendous thing happened to you in your childhood, it is not happening at this very moment. But if we sit there, and in our life, we don't let ourselves grow up, but we keep saying, that happened to me, that person did this to me, this, you know, that we make it so solid that we relive that situation every day in our own mind. We torment ourselves more than that other person who did that tormented us. And that's a function of disturbing attitudes. That's how disturbing attitudes work. That's why they're called disturbing. Yeah, because they disturb the peace of the mind. They won't let us be happy.
So this is a big question. Like, how do we
do it? Oh, it does. And this is only one technique to use to deal with it. There's many other techniques. Okay. First of all, if I can just rewrite something you said, instead of saying that it was my fault, it wasn't our fault. I think the word fault, you know, to blame ourselves, the word blame and fault is really unnecessary. We can't say it's my fault, okay? We can say, I created the cause for this to happen to me. But you see, when we say it's my fault, what do we get into? I'm going to hate myself. I'm going to beat myself. That isn't what karma is talking about, okay? We don't have to blame anybody for a bad situation. We don't have to blame ourselves because we created the mistake in the previous life that got us there. We don't have to blame the people who harmed us right now because they're under the influence of disturbing attitudes. But rather, I mean, we can have compassion for the people who harmed us because they're under the influence of their disturbing attitudes. We can have compassion for ourselves because, you know, under the influence of our disturbing attitudes, we did something negative in a previous life. Okay? Now, maybe we don't know specifically what negative thing we did. But I know very often, you know, when things happen to me that cause me a lot of pain, I usually try and think of like the opposite thing. Like, for example, if it's a situation where I feel really hurt by somebody else, okay, then I just think, you know, I've hurt other people in the past. Okay, now even this, forget about previous life, this life. If I think about how I've behaved with other people, I've hurt a lot of people this lifetime. Yeah. So if I've done it this lifetime, yeah, who knows what I did in previous life. Okay. But the point is, okay, whatever mistake I made, what I'm experiencing right now is the fruition of this. Now that karma is done. Okay, by that karma ripening, now it's done. It's brought its fruit. Then the point is, what do I want to do in the future? Do I want to continue to create this kind of karma, or do I want to get my act together? And that's the question. Yeah. Because the past is over. So it's like whatever I did in the past that was harmful, who knows what it was, that I know now I need to purify all my negative actions, especially the ones in this lifetime that I can remember. And I need to put some energy into not repeating that behavior and instead put some energy into creating some good karma. Yeah? So that instead of just like sticking in the memory all the time, that's the wrong kind of visualization. Yeah? It's visualizing, but improper things.
It's really hard for people to come yet.
Yeah. So how would you put this to somebody who doesn't have this worldview?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because you see, to accept this story, you have to have some space in the mind for the idea of karma and rebirth. And purification and Buddhahood and the fact that, you know, there is an end to all this. So if you don't have this worldview, then this kind of approach isn't going to work for you. So somebody who doesn't have that worldview, what I would try and get them to do is first acknowledge the pain, but then to really think about what the mind of the person who perpetuated the pain was like. What that person's life was like. What that person's story was like. What was going on in their mind. And to get in touch with that confusion that must have existed in somebody else's mind in order to do this. And sometimes the confusion is so immense. I mean, we look at, I mean, for example, I was reading in the newspaper about the Holocaust Museum that they just opened in Washington, D.C. And as a kid, I used to read a lot about the Holocaust. And I used to read this and say, how did this happen? How can human beings do this? Or even you look at Bosnia right now and you say, how can this happen? How can people actually do this? You know, it's like, what is going on in somebody's mind that they can go into a village in Bosnia and murder people? And yet, I mean, so when you look at it, you can see that there's some incredible layer of confusion and pain and delusion and, you know, That it's almost as if people are crazy. In fact, it is. When we're under the influence of our disturbing attitudes, we are, in fact, mad. Okay, and we know that's happened to us. I mean, we can all look in our lives at times we've been under the influence of our own disturbing attitudes, and just like we've been berserky. I mean, thank goodness that, you know, we haven't harmed anybody that much. But you can see other people just, you know, that same situation accentuated the stress, the pressure in their own mind, you know, and the force of a society telling you to act in a certain way. And that they do unbelievable things. But when you try and think of that kind of person, what their mind must have been like. You know, it's like, I don't know, I find it hard to hate somebody like that. when I went to Tibet and I saw it, just these monasteries totally, unbelievably destroyed. Ganden Monastery, you know, where Lama Tsongkhapa, the first one he started, where his remains were, it's up on top of a hill. I mean, to get up there, we took a bus. It was difficult for the bus to get up. When during the Cultural Revolution, they didn't have buses. They walked up there. This is at like 14,000 feet. You're panting. I mean, the effort they put in to walk to the top of the hill, to smash buildings made out of stone. I mean, you know what it takes to destroy buildings made out of stone? It takes a lot of energy. Whole monastery. There were like 3,000 or 4,000 people living there. Whole thing, except for one building, totally knocked apart. And, you know, I was thinking about that when we were going up there, and I thought, I was thinking, what would it have been like to have been, you know, either a Chinese soldier or a young Tibetan during the Cultural Revolution doing that? I was like, I couldn't hate them. I couldn't hate them. Because the mind must have been so totally overwhelmed by disturbing attitudes. Like, gone crazy. And so I think, like, when we can really think like that, then there's the possibility for some compassion to come in. Yeah, exactly. And because you begin to identify disturbing attitudes or delusions, that those are the enemy. Sentient beings aren't the enemy. The disturbing attitudes that are. Well, look at the times when we've told somebody else off. Didn't you feel like you were justified and you were doing a good thing? Yeah?
And the idea too, and we're all playing the game together.
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, our pain needs to be acknowledged. And before the pain's acknowledged, it's very difficult to hear anything.
That's what you meant by acknowledging.
Yeah. 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 I mean, because if somebody, unless you've, it's a funny thing the way we are. It's like we have to feel heard and accepted that, you know, okay, I'm in the middle of the pit, but if somebody can hear and accept me, then maybe I can get myself out of it. Well, the last thing we want to hear is you shouldn't feel that way. You know?
Think about my body felt like you
with
pulling your hair and yeah. Pulling your nails and burning you alive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you have to start out with acknowledging your own pain. But then we have to grow out of that, too. Okay, so let's just sit quietly for a few minutes.